How do we use AI?
Without letting the robots take over.
AI and copywriting. I have so many questions about the intersection of AI and copywriting. Luckily for you and me, Erin Olilla, host of the Talk Copy to Me podcast, is on the show to talk copy with us. Erin walks us through how and where she uses AI in her creative process, and even more importantly, how she does not use AI and where she does not use AI. As a creative services provider, I've had days where I've wrestled with the question, is AI going to replace me? We talk about Erin's approach to this question, as well as how she is teaching her clients who want to use AI how to use it more effectively in their copywriting process. Let's get into it. Welcome, Erin Olilla, SEO copywriter, content strategist, and host of the Talk Copy to Me podcast.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for being here. First question I want to start with, and this is the first question for every guest so far, is how would you describe your current relationship with AI?
Oh, complicated. I think that AI is fascinating in some ways, and I feel like it's doom and gloom in other ways. I think I kind of oscillate between the two. I don't find, like, I'm not in the middle ground. There are days when I think to myself, like, oh, I'm so grateful for this. It makes my life easier. So many options for, like, future use. And then there's days where I think to myself, like, we've officially zapped all the creativity from the world. People are, mass amounts of people are losing their jobs and won't have their jobs replaced. And then I think there are days where I jump between those two, like, 80 times a day. Yeah. So I love it and I hate it.
I'm really excited to hear your take on the intersection of SEO and copy and AI and strategy, because I know you do copy coaching is one of the services that you offer. Mm-hmm. And is there anything that you really try to get your coaching clients to understand when it comes to using AI in the copywriting process?
I think the thing that people don't understand so much is they, and I've said this myself, you know, accidentally or just because it comes out conversationally, is that people think that AI is like a coworker or a brainstorming buddy, but it's not. AI is just a tool that replicates information and can process it and can shape it for you. So it's kind of like if you were to be an editor of a newspaper, let's say, you wrote some articles and then you had like a junior copywriter edit it for you, maybe to point out, you know, if there was a gap missing in the story that you wrote, like content gap, or if your spelling or grammar is wrong. That junior copy editor is not suggesting like a new scope for the article, right? They're not giving you ideas to get your creativity flowing. They are only using the content that you give them and making suggestions based on that. So when I work with my clients for copy coaching and do things like use AI for them to create content or to build content strategies and things like that, what they're often missing is that they have to take the lead. So if they do want to, quote unquote, brainstorm using AI tools, they need to develop a strategist mind. They need to have brand guidelines that they can share with the tool and share regularly. Because again, the more information it has, the more it has to remember, the more things that it pulls into those end results. So it's really kind of thinking of yourself more as a guide to AI, and it is the tool that helps you get to the place that you need to go.
One of the things that it started to do for me recently, because I have been, since I started this series, I've been much more intentional about what I'm feeding into it and helping it, you know, learn my brand voice and vibe and all of that. It was something to the effect of, do you want me to, you know, create a voice and tone guide for you? And I was like, oh, yeah, because I was really curious to see what it thought my voice and tone was, and it was pretty close on some things, and then there were others I was like, absolutely not.
Yeah. I think AI thinks I like, well, me and everyone else in the world, like adjectives way more than I do, or adverbs especially. And I'm mm-hmm. like, I actually am a pretty excitable person. Like, if you get to know me, like, you would maybe describe me as like a kindergartner with like enthusiasm and excitement for like ridiculously small things. However, that does not necessarily come across in my writing. Mm-hmm. Or if it does, it is like a less than 5%. But sometimes I think AI thinks that I am like extremely excited for things. Mm-hmm. And then I find myself being like, no, tone it down a lot, bud. Like, yeah. You're getting out of control here. But what I find interesting to point about your how it asked you if it wanted to develop brand guidelines is myself, I started using AI having brand guidelines. Mm-hmm. I've been in business for, I don't know, it feels like forever now, but 9 years, 10 years, and I'm a copywriter. I'm a content strategist. These are things I create for my clients. So I can feed my AI usage my own brand guidelines, but I actually regularly ask AI to improve on my brand guidelines. Like, what did you notice from the, let's say I give it a draft of a blog post. What do you notice from this blog post that's different from my brand guidelines? Or now that you see this final draft, would you suggest any other descriptive words for how I write? Things like that, so that I can continue to build upon things that I know I'm doing well. And if you ever have a conversation with AI and it's one of those conversations where you're like, dude, the exclamation points need to go. Like, oh, this is just way too excitable. This is a sad story. Why are we putting exclamation points everywhere? Then at the end, when you're confident and comfortable with your end result, that's when you say, you know, I noticed that we had some trouble finding voice and tone. Can you suggest updated guidelines for how I can prompt you in the future? Or, you know, how you would describe my voice now that you see the final result? Because it is really an iterative process, and it's something that's never complete. So I know people don't like to hear that, especially if they're investing in someone creating brand guidelines for them. That's, you know, a decent chunk of money. Mm-hmm. But I still think you want to get them as good as possible. So if you have those brand guidelines or you're about to pay for them, you do want to ask your strategist, how can I use these specifically with AI? Because you don't want to submit a, you know, 47-page brand guideline document to an AI tool expecting it to know all of those things. You want to be synced with how you describe your own voice if you'd like a good output in the future.
Oh, that makes so much sense. And I love that you said that it's an iterative process, because that's the more of these conversations I have, like, that keeps coming up. It's iterative and things change. And what's mm-hmm. working today might not even work tomorrow, or it's going to be different. And mm-hmm. it feels like it's not just a set it and forget it kind of thing.
No, I agree.
So you are a service-based business provider that does copywriting, and now we have this AI tool that can also do copywriting. So how are you as a business owner navigating that so that clients still see that value that you provide? Because I feel like, especially even with podcast editing and production, like, a lot of that is getting really commoditized now because we've got tools like Descript, which I feel like that's really just kind of leveling the playing field so people that aren't editors and producers can still put out a really great sounding podcast. So how are you as a copywriter and strategist differentiating yourself?
Yeah, I think that there's a couple different levels here. So some of my clients are really big brands, and in some ways, they're the same issue that I have with working with solopreneurs. Those two groups are thinking to themselves, you know, I have X amount of a budget. How do I spend it? Mm-hmm. And for them, a lot of the time, it goes with cutting off their copywriters, cutting off their creatives, and using these AI tools. But they then come at it from a different perspective. The big brands want their former writers to now step in as strategists. I'm very fortunate that I've been a strategist almost my entire career, but not all copywriters are strategists. In fact, I actually think it took me like half of my career to even figure that out, because I assumed that the strategy work was what a lot of copywriters do. But I actually found most of my copywriting friends don't do strategy at all. They would like more of like a content brief or a copy brief shared with them, and then their job is to kind of fill in the blanks and do the writing. So it hasn't really affected me too much with the bigger brands. Maybe my actual jobs for them are shifting slightly and what they're asking me to do. For the smaller brands, it's the opposite approach, but the same thing. It's kind of stepping more as that strategist and coach. So where they would hire me to maybe do the copywriting for them or do even the content strategy, now they're saying, I've got these tools. Everyone gets very excited to use them at first because it seems like endless possibilities. I think until they start to crash and burn with like that enthusiasm they have for using it starts to be like, oh, this is a drag. Like, this is a lot of work to get the result that I'm hoping for. But I will work with people who have the, like, solopreneurs specifically, who have a set budget. They want to use the tools from a DIY perspective, and they want to hire a strategist or, like, an editing coach, like I would be for them, to talk through it, to get that brainstorming partner to say, like, this isn't exactly what I'm looking for. What am I doing wrong? Or how can I get it to have a different tone? Or I don't even know what my tone is. So how can I talk to it in a way that makes sense for me? And I actually have had a really good time doing that. I think where my concern is with that group of clients is that I don't think they know they have the option to hire copywriters to help them with that. Mm-hmm. So I will be talking to so many solopreneurs or tiny business owners about like their frustrations with AI or their struggles, or even the idea that they loved it when it got started and then they were like, oh, this is, it's just so much work to create blog posts every week. It's so much work to have like a podcast content strategy that's like all related to each other. Because maybe, for example, they formerly had someone who did that strategy work for them and they thought, oh, that's easy. I'll input like my former list of podcast episodes and I'll say, what am I missing? Like, what are the content gaps? Which is a good prompt, right? Mm-hmm. And then I'll build off of that. But they realize every single piece of strategy is attached to a different piece of strategy. So you touch one thing, and this is true for SEO, this is true for content writing, this is true for copywriting. I would say it's podcasting probably. Mm-hmm. You touch one thing and then you now have to touch 10 other things.
Right. And it's never those, just one thing.
Yeah. Of those 10 other things, maybe it's only four more things that need to get touched, but it's this like cyclical process where you're spinning your wheels. And if you don't have that those strategy skills, you start to burn out. So I think it's more trying to talk to the smaller business owners to be like, you do have an option here, right? Like we can do the beginning work together, a lot of the planning, a lot of the ideating, that voice development, and then you run with that. You create those drafts, you have those conversations with AI, you adjust your strategy and your plans, and then come back to me, and we will review all those things that you created to decide how to move forward. So it's changing my work. And I would say the biggest thing that I can respond to that is like, there's 1/4 of me that doesn't think it makes a difference, right? There's 1/4 of me that I have clients that are like, yeah, no thanks. This is a fad. I'm not saying it'll disappear. I'm just saying like, I know the value of hiring someone to do this for me and I'm going to continue doing that.
Right.
I have another group of clients who are like, I love to do this myself. I'm going to completely fire all my marketing team and use AI for everything. And then there's that like half middle ground where, you know, like the scenarios I've posed, maybe my job shifts and I have to adjust that myself and they have to adjust it. Or maybe it is something where things kind of go back to normal after a certain period of time. Because I think what people miss very often when it comes to AI is it's all just the regurgitation of knowledge that it has.
Yeah.
So there is going to be a point when it is not fed enough new knowledge that we just start cycling through the same things over and over again. The easiest way, I don't think people understand that as well as they could. It's kind of like a complicated process. It seems easy, but the best way to describe it is in the world of creative writing, when it comes to stories, you know, we grew up when we heard these fairy tales, or like if you're religious, maybe you had some sort of like, you know, the Bible or some sort of text that had storytelling within it that you heard these stories as children and they became part of your folklore. Well, the stories today, the movies that we watch, the narrative podcasts we listen to, all of these things are just recycled storytelling techniques over and over again. the difference between AI and what I'm just sharing right now is that the human element is there, right? Mm-hmm. So you can take the Cinderella story and you can tell the Cinderella story literally 42,000 times in different ways because you set a different cultural tone to it. You set a different time period to it. You set different clothing to it, whatever you want, right? Like that story is just kind of reshared. Mm-hmm. However, while what's happening with AI is the same thing, those same techniques are just being used over and over and over again. That same information that it has is just being regurgitated. It doesn't have that human element to constantly think about nuance. So I do think there is something in the future where we have to question, how far will this take me? It's not a fad. We all know it's not a fad, yeah. But I think that's a great way to describe, like, is this excitement going to last us, you know, a few years until we start to realize these things that we're saying right now are kind of happening and we're all losing interest and we're all AI'd out.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
It'll be fun to see where it goes, that's for sure.
Or terrifying.
Right, exactly. It's that weird, like, this could really go either way, it feels mm-hmm. like. Yeah. Well, and I love that you were talking about strategy, and I think this is a perfect segue into plugging your podcast, Talk Copy to Me, because you did, I think back in February, you started mm-hmm. kind of a series on strategy. I am not all the way through it yet. Because I listen to it when I drive the car, and then I'm like, oh, I need to be home with pencil and paper and writing this stuff down and putting these things into practice. So, friends, I'm all for listening to podcasts in your car, but this one's really, really worth like sitting down and listening to and making notes. And I do not say that lightly.
I appreciate that. Yeah. And you know, it's funny. This actually kind of fits in our conversation really well here today, because when I started my podcast, I don't remember if it was 2021 or the beginning of 2022, I was really torn with the like self-creation. Being someone who creates content strategies, you'd think I could just sit down and be like, oh, I'm going to do all of this for myself. And I could, but I had too many ideas. I had too mm-hmm. many things I wanted to accomplish. So I forced myself that first year that I was going to try a couple things out at first, you know, maybe let's say, I don't know, 5 or 6 episodes of different topics to see what I was interested in. But then mm-hmm. I was only going to create episodes that were based on a series of sorts. So that way I could accomplish a few things. One, I could keep my audience interested. You know, I could develop the topic in a few different ways or, you know, take different approaches, right? Content mm-hmm. strategy, as an example, is first you have to talk strategy. Then you talk about things like the content gaps. Then you talk about things like editing and auditing. So I said, I'm going to do things in series. And then it just kind of became the thing that I did, where mm-hmm. I made sure I had like at least 5 episodes. I did them all batched together. But recently, I had used AI to kind of review my own podcast to say, like, well, where are the gaps here? Like, you know, this has been a couple of years of creating series. Are there series that don't have as much content as other series? Because the aim was to use, you know, SEO breadcrumbs to say, well, I talked about the beginning of content strategy here. I'm going to talk about it again for editing. I'm going to link the two. And while it did give me good feedback, it was able to review the list that I gave it of podcast titles, let's say, and suggest to me, it looks like these 3 series only have, let's say, 3 episodes, while the rest of your series have anywhere from like 5 to 15. Maybe you want to look at adding to those series. That was very helpful.
Yeah.
That saved me a lot of time to have to sit down and connect the dots and, you know, click through my Excel spreadsheet to make sure everything was like, you know, ideally created and listed in the right way. So AI worked excellently there. Where it missed the boat was suggesting to me how I could improve on my content strategy. It's funny that we're talking about AI right now, because I did have a series last year where I had about 3 episodes on AI. And there was just so many changes that I knew I didn't want to go too far into it. Mm-hmm. So I said, well, I'll come back to this. We'll see what happens over the course of the year. And I do only have 3 episodes on AI for my podcast. So it was one of the things that it brought up that I might want to strengthen and build out more episodes. But the episodes they suggested to me were absolutely nothing that my audience would want. You know, it was kind of like how to have enterprise AI with your employees. And I'm like, I don't speak to companies with 600 employees. Why would I ever speak to that? Right. Or yeah. It was like, I had an episode on like the legalities of AI when it came to content creation. And then the topic was something to the effect of if I were talking to lawyers, like what are the case law changes in like AI? And I'm like, again, nothing I would ever want to use. So is it helpful? Absolutely. It saved me like a half of an afternoon of organizing my thoughts, of organizing things I have previously created and like indicating to me what to focus on. Mm-hmm. But did it come up with a good approach on how to move forward? No. In fact, I would say 95% of what it suggested to me of how I could fill the gap between the things that I needed and the things I have created were absolutely not going to work. So it's not about intelligence as in like street smart or book smart. But if you're not like intelligent enough when it comes to strategy, maybe I should say, like mm-hmm. building topics, knowing what your audience is looking for, then you're going to really struggle with that output. Because you're going to say, oh, I mean, you might obviously know like the enterprise thing's not good if you know you have a tiny audience. That's an easy example. But if it suggests something like the legalities of like plagiarism, or you might think, oh, maybe I should say something about this. This is kind of related. But that's not serving your business. So if you have a podcast for your business and you want your listeners to take a specific action and you go down a route that's just kind of wasting everyone's time, what's the higher good here? So it really, you need to develop that skill of being able to like trust your gut, trust the information you have about your business to know whether the output that you're getting is right for you and your business.
That makes a lot of sense. So I'm curious, what was the prompt that you put in and the information that you put in to AI to say, evaluate these and find the gaps?
Yeah. So remember how I said some people like to think of it as like a coworker? I do. Now, I know that it is not my brainstorming partner for sure, but I do tend to talk to it as if I'm talking to another human. And I'm also a little long-winded. And with my ADHD, I provide a lot of details that may or may not be necessary. So when I prompt AI, I tend to get a little chatty and I'll say things like, hey, I'm looking to develop a content strategy for the next series of my podcast, and I'd like to have 26 episodes within this series. A couple of notes for you. I only do my episodes based on like topical ideas. So I would like to have, or I usually have 5 episodes on one topic. I'm going to provide a list of podcast episodes I've done in the past, as well as a list of the categories, these series that I place them under. Please review and match the like podcast episode titles to the categories and share a list of those for me. Then, like I said, maybe it says to me, all right, under AI, you have 3. Under testimonials, let's say, because that's one of my series, you have 6. So it gives me this list of this. All of my podcast episodes are now categorized and put under specific topics. Then I would report back like, hey, thanks for your work. Like, you did a great job there. Please move these 6 episodes around, because while they might fit under that topic, I think they fit better under another topic, because the, you know, inner conversations of what the guest and I spoke of, or the topics that I shared in a solo episode, really belong elsewhere. I might say to move things around. And then I say to it, like, now that we know exactly where these episodes lie in regard to the type of series they fit into, I would like to spend these future 26 episodes filling the gaps of what's missing here. So are there any episodes where I maybe provided beginner information and advanced information, but no intermediate information? If so, give me some ideas for those. Are there any series that have too few episodes? If so, share some ideas for those. So it was more just kind of like looking for things that I hadn't thought of on my own. And like I said, even that was helpful. It just wasn't helpful moving forward when I say, okay, well, we're going to focus on, let's say, AI. I'm trying to think of some of the other ones that I had missing. I think social proof and testimonials was one that I needed to add to a little bit. So let's say I gave it three topics and I said, well, here are some of the things that you said about these three topics. Like, I think that's really a great direction. Now, please give me some episode title ideas for these topics. And let's say I mentioned, you know, I'd like five ideas for each of the main categories, and they were just kind of a flop. So can you go back in and keep working with it? Yeah. And you might get really good output from that point. Mm-hmm. For me specifically, I knew it had done its job. Like I knew it had organized the information I gave it, and it had presented me with those gaps, which would have taken me longer to find on my own for sure. But I knew that once it got to that point, I needed to step in and I needed to use my own skills, my own creativity. Because again, with the world of podcasting specifically, it's actually more to think about when you think like, are you going to have a guest to talk about this? Well, if so, what's their expertise?
Right.
I had someone come on for an episode once and I said, oh, can you talk about this? Because it was literally within their world of business.
Uh-huh.
However, it was not their expertise. And I think that became very evident once we started talking and I realized like, they didn't understand what I was asking them.
Yeah.
Like, this is very different from what I expected.
Uh-huh.
And it ended up being a great episode, kind of adjusting my expectations and where I wanted to go with it. But when we think about future planning and we're looking at these content gaps, we then have to decide either A, I need to go out and look for a specific guest to bring on, or B, I need to adjust the episode idea to match this ideal guest that I already know I want to have on.
Yeah.
It's just adjusting it and melding it slightly so it better fits the conversation I'd like to have with them. Again, same thing for solo shows. It could say that I should be talking about, I talk a lot about metrics because they're related to so many things. SEO, mm-hmm. copywriting, content, audience development, podcasting. However, I'm not the most math-based writer or strategist. So mm-hmm. can I tell you what KPIs to measure? Yes. Can I measure them for you? Sure. Can I tell you like why you're not meeting your KPI? Absolutely. But if we're going to start like really drilling down into like conversion rates and all of these things, my brain's like, hey, maybe you want to talk to someone who likes math a little bit more than I do, right? So like that's a good example of like when we're using these tools and we're trying to develop the topics even we want to talk about in a solo episode, I might not want to do an episode on drilling down into your metrics, but I might want to do one that's like, what are the like high level KPIs all business owners should have for their podcast mm-hmm. or for their book launch, whatever it is, and just know where your strengths are.
I love all of this. The wheels are just turning in my brain now, and I'm trying to stay focused on the current conversation. So I'm like, oh, I could do this and I could try this. And
right.
Yeah. I think that's the fun of this because after every episode, I feel like I have 100 more questions than I did when we started, which I think is a sign of a good episode and a good conversation. How else are you using AI in the podcast? Is it writing your show notes and doing like timestamps and things like that, which seems to be very common? Is it giving you episode title ideas, or do you just start with the title in mind?
I fall on using it in the beginning and the end, not in the middle. So for example, like mentioning how I just did that like audit, let's say, of previous episodes, that's very helpful for me because I feel like, just like you said about this episode, it gets those wheels turning mm-hmm. where I start to develop more excitement toward actually doing the work myself, right? So I find these content gaps and I say, okay, well, these particular series are missing. Actually, in the beginning of this year, this is not the exact example I just talked about, but I realized I had talked about strategy so much on the podcast. And again, my very first job in marketing was strategy only. So it's not like I just said to myself, oh, I love strategy. Let me just randomly talk about it. I've got tons of experience. But I realized maybe at the end of last year when I was planning for this beginning of the year content, I don't actually have a strategy series. Like I've talked about it. It might have fallen under the content series when I talked about content strategy, or it might have been under the like copywriting series when I talked about like editing your work or like creating new content, but I don't actually have, after 3 years or more, my own series on strategy. And I think I figured that out from using AI tools and just trying to like say, maybe at that point it was like, hey, here are my list of ideas. How would you categorize them? So then I could look at my own list and start dotting it around. I didn't think about that before we started this episode. So that was kind of fun to connect my own dots. So yes, that's an example in the beginning. Or maybe even if I'm really struggling with having too many ideas and I have a guest coming on, I might say, you know, I have this guest, here's their bio, here's two or three sentences on what I'd like to have for the whole episode. Unfortunately, I have too many ideas or I have too many questions. Can you help me maybe narrow it down so that, because I'm very particular on each episode being about one thing. It's so easy for me to talk about so many things at one time. So that's the beginning work that I'll do. And then the end work, for a very long time, I struggled with letting AI create show note information for mm-hmm. me because I was like, nah, I'm a content strategist. Like, I do write very quickly. Like, this isn't a problem. Mm-hmm. But it is a problem in the sense that even if you can write quickly, it's still taking time that you could be doing other things for your business. Right. So I do use some AI tools to give me like the... I usually start my show notes with like a couple paragraphs about what it's about in general that I write on my own. Mm-hmm. And then I will ask it to give me the bullet points for like what the main conversation was about. I will ask it to provide me with any quotes from the episode, which I find so helpful. All of my guests love that I give them quotes that they have said so they can use that for their own like emails about the podcast or their own social post, which only benefits me and my show because right. they're sharing about it, right? So that's helpful. And it helps with SEO because now I'm sharing a quote and tagging them as the author of that quote within the show notes. So nice. While those two things sound very tiny, they actually would take a ton of time for me to scan through the transcripts or for me to mark the, like, while I'm listening to the episode, to mark the timestamps to say, like, oh, so-and-so said something interesting there. Yeah. After that, I now, again, feel like I'm dipping my toe into AI with content creation. I will use the show notes that I've written and with the bullet points and stuff to help me create a basic email that I'll share in my audience or my email list, I should say, and give me some ideas for things like social media post. Do I post them all? No, because I'm a little lazy when it comes to social media. And like, you'll notice with my social content, I'll have months of posting every other day and then months of nothing, which I think I'm in right now. So sometimes I do use my AI social post, but it's more like, it's always those little baby steps. Like I have to feel a little bit more comfortable with those bullet points first, and then the quotes, and now the email, because I really truly like to be the creator of my own content. I like mm-hmm. to think of it as that junior copy editor I mentioned at the beginning of this episode, like, hey, here's my paragraph about what this episode is about. Can you give me a couple bullet points based on the transcript? Versus yeah. it saying like, I'll do the intros and I'll write the podcast description. That just makes me nervous. I'm very, very afraid I'm going to accidentally plagiarize one day mm-hmm. because of AI. And I think that everyone should also be very, very, very afraid they're going to accidentally plagiarize. Yeah. So you have to edit anything AI gives you so that you don't end up in that situation. Because even if it's as simple as one paragraph of like show notes, mm-hmm. you know, an introduction, if that was literally said elsewhere, word for word, then you plagiarized. There's no excuse in court where you're like, oh gosh, I didn't know I was plagiarizing because right. I didn't do my due diligence to check. You know what I mean? So as long as you get back in there, you start editing, you use your tone guides to be like, thank you for saying the word like splendid and, you know, like let's launch your superstar skyrocket business, right? Like if these are words that you don't like, tell that to AI. Say like, these are my forbidden word lists.
Oh yeah.
And that I think is very helpful. I always tell people like when you start to get words on your output and you're like, I would never say oh, I just had a something where it was like excellence. Like if you're looking for excellence and something, something, because excellence is your highest achievement. And I'm like, what? It's like, yeah, sure. Excellence is great, everyone, but not everything's going to be excellent. I would never say this. So I just added to my thing. Like I have absolutely never use these words because they're words that I just would never say. And then I have a list of maybes. So if I am using it for a larger content creation, not just mm-hmm. like, can I have bullet points here? But if I'm using it to say like a podcast episodes on occasion, if I have too many ideas, like I mentioned before, I might say, can we come up with an outline, right? So here are all my ideas. I'd really like to have no more than 2 or 3 points. Feed me back what you just heard me say to you and I'll riff, right? And I'll say, these are the yeah. things I want to talk about. And if I say, okay, well, that's great. You know, like what are... how would you describe this then, like in a podcast description? And if it gives me, it starts feeding me words like excellence and stuff like that, I'll be like, no, thank you. That's a maybe word. Read from this list. Now you know my voice and tone. I just shared it with you. Here's a list of words that I will fight you if you use. And here's another list of words that you might get a timeout for. Like those... nobody wants to take that extra step. I don't even, mm-hmm. so I get it. It's very frustrating to be like, oh, do I really have to have a maybe list of words? But yeah, if you are truly using it for content creation mm-hmm. and you're annoyed with the fact that it keeps saying like all of these like superlatives or like salutations is something I find when it comes to podcasting specifically, I get mm-hmm. like, it'll be like, howdy friends. And like, I do say friend a lot in my podcast because I don't like to use gendered terms. Mm-hmm. So I might say like at the beginning of the episode, hey friend, I don't say yeah. friend every 14 sentences yeah. or like every 10 words. So I will always be like, do not use salutations in my podcast. Do not suggest salutations in my email. I know how to say hi to people. That I have got. So thank you if you're trying to like sum things up for me, but I do not need help saying salutations, friend. This week's episode of Tuck copied me. And then at the end, it's like, so go on and live your best life. And while you're doing it, think of me best. No, I can do that, right? So part of it is just going that extra step to like jot down some notes if after you've done some work of things that might have annoyed you. So you can mm-hmm. say, as part of your brand guidelines, hey, don't get overly enthusiastic. I'm not a fan of exclamation points. Like, I don't need many adverbs. I can add enthusiasm later. That's brand voice and tone. Mm-hmm. And it's really helpful to just kind of be cognizant while you're using a tool, because then you'll have to do less work in the future. I think this burnout with people getting really excited about AI and then feeling really overwhelmed with it comes from the fact that they have to do so much heavy lifting
yeah.
regularly because they're not doing that extra step to just kind of like maintain a list of yes and no's when it comes to working with a tool.
Yeah, I think there's this disappointment of mm-hmm. why doesn't it sound like me? Mm-hmm. Well, it's because you've got to do more work.
Yeah.
So sorry. Totally.
And it can. I've actually been impressed, you know, way back before OpenAI and ChatGPT came up, I hated AI tools. Like I had friends who used them and I'm like, I have never heard anything that sounded worse in my life. Like it is so obvious to me that this is not you who's writing, mm-hmm. that this, it sounds like a robot.
Yeah.
And then ChatGPT came out and I was like, oh shit, excuse my language. I'm like, oh, this is, I think I'm eating my own words here, right? Like, this is actually good. It actually sounds like a human. Maybe it doesn't sound like me, but it sounds yeah. okay. But you have to build that muscle to teach it how to sound like you in order for it to really work well. So I think one thing that we really should kind of point out is that when you're doing things like creating podcast episodes, writing blog posts, social media posts, emails, any of those things, when it comes to solo creating it or using AI to create it, is that if you have an outline that you use as a plug and play outline, it's 10 times easier for you. Just an example, my show notes are introduction, usually 2 paragraphs to introduce a topic. The first paragraph, I always try to make like the hook slash why is this important for the audience. The second paragraph, I try to sum up in 1 to four sentences what I actually talk about within the episode and invite the person, let's say, to listen. Then it's always followed by those bullet points of like, this is what was happening in the conversation. Here's what I want you to know. Then it is always followed by my quote section, which is, again, working for solo or guest episodes. Then it is always followed by bios, either my bio or my guest bio. And then it is always followed by a transcript. So it's standard. There's no guessing. Mm-hmm. That way, in the future, if you have just a transcript for your podcast and you want AI to help you create that, you can give it instructions based on that. You can say, here's the outline for my show notes. Intro, bullet points, quotes, bios, transcript. You already have the bio. It was either given to you or it is yours. You already have the transcript. You don't need to do anything for that. The end of it's done. You can just say, please write me a 1-2 paragraph introduction. Please share 7 bullet points. And then please share up to 10 quotes from this transcript. So you're giving it precise information based on an outline that's created. That same thing can translate to email or to blog posts to say, you know, all of my blog posts will always have an introduction, a conclusion, and then an interior with a heading followed by 2 paragraphs. I aim for 3 sections in the interior. So it knows exactly what to create, and you're not ideating for every single possibility. So if you have a templated outline that you use, you will save yourself an immense amount of time, and then the creativity can be better because you're creating a specific thing with a specific end result.
Oh, this is gold. Erin, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. Like I said before, my wheels are absolutely turning now.
Oh, thank you.
And I just want to do stuff that is not on my priority list for today.
I give you permission. If you want to take like a half an hour after the episode and just play, set a timer. I do that sometimes. Like if I see someone has used AI in a way that I haven't, I'll say, all right, you get 10 minutes, Erin. And then you get... Because again, ADHD, like I thrive on dopamine. So like if I want to do something, I will do it. So I will reward myself sometimes and be like, okay, you can try that thing that someone mentioned. So if you'd like 30 minutes, listener or you, Jen, take 30 minutes and then go do those boring tasks that you have to do for the day.
Thank you so much. I'm sure that whoever's listening to this podcast is going to be like, Erin's amazing. I need to know more. So where's the best place for them to connect with you and learn more?
Well, you're already listening in your podcast player. So I say just come on over to Talk Copy to Me, listen to the show. You can learn a little bit more about my approach to copy and content, and then find your way over to my website once you've listened.
Friends, check out Erin's podcast, Talk Copy to Me. Our conversation was just the teeny tiny tip of the iceberg of her knowledge. And you're going to want to take notes, so be prepared. If you're looking for more ways to use AI in your content creation workflow without sucking the life out of your work, make sure you give all the episodes in this series a listen. I've made it super easy for you and put them all in a playlist. There'll be a link to it in the episode description. And if you're ready to increase the impact of your podcast, or you need some help streamlining your workflow, or just getting out of your own way, book a podcast power hour with me. I'm here to help. I'll put the link to book your session in the description. Thanks for tuning in. Now get out in the world and do some good.